We thank you for your word today. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And we thank you, Lord, that he gives us understanding and revelation. And I thank you, Father, that you confirm your word today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for it. Thank you that, Lord, that we don't only hear your word, but I thank you that we will be doers of your word. And I thank you that, as was said earlier in the offering, that we'll receive the good consequences, the good results from acting on your word and from putting your word into practice. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I am going to do something that I don't think that I've ever done before that I remember. Maybe I have. I think I've done it in reverse, though. And I'm going to preach the same thing that I preach Wednesday night. Now, if you were here Wednesday, don't get up and leave. But most of you were not here. And you say, why are you doing that? Well, because I felt like the Lord told me to. So, and I said, well, Lord, they'll think I'm lazy. And but I have to remember that I'm not supposed to be moved by what you think, right? I'm supposed to do what God says to do. Amen. And so it's not because I'm lazy or didn't take time to prepare another message. It's because the Lord really impressed on my heart to go back over these things that I shared on Wednesday night, and there will be new material, Noel and Linda. One reason you encouraged me, you inspired me, because when Noel went out of the service Wednesday night, he said, we've never heard that before. And I thought, well, if they've never heard that before, there's probably a lot of, because they've been around. And they've been in this for a while. Amen. I'm not alluding to your age. I'm just saying, you know. And I thought, well, if it's something that was revelation and new understanding for them, then maybe it is for all of us. Amen. Maybe it will help us all. And I believe that it will. So praise God. Luke chapter 13 is where we're going to begin this morning. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. And the title of the message today is Our Covenant of Healing. Our Covenant of Healing. Praise God. I think several folks could use this today. Amen. Luke 13, 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? I love this passage of scripture. I've preached from it many times, and there are many wonderful divine healing truths in this passage of scripture. First of all, we see the source of sickness is revealed here in this passage. It says in verse 11 that this woman had a spirit of infirmity. It was a demonic spirit that was enforcing this condition. An arthritic condition. She was bent over. She couldn't straighten up. There was a demon spirit involved. That doesn't mean that she had done anything wrong. Jesus did not address anything to her about saying, woman, you've sinned. You've opened the door to the devil. You've let this in. The devil just came and took advantage of her. And probably because she wasn't taught her rights and privileges in that synagogue. And she didn't know that she could be healed. And so she was bent over. She couldn't raise up. And it was a spirit of infirmity that was enforcing that. And then in verse 16, Jesus says, whom Satan has bound. Throw 16 back up there, Mike, if you would. First part of 16. This woman being a daughter of Abraham, who has bound? Satan. Whom Satan has bound. So we see the source of sickness revealed here. It was a spirit of infirmity. Satan had bound her. Second thing that we see here is how Jesus ministered to her. Notice what it says in verse number 12. It says, when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. And what did he do? He said something to her. He said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. So Jesus spoke to her and he said, woman, you're loosed. You're set free from your infirmity. Verse 13 says, then he laid his hands on her and she was made straight and glorified God. So first thing that Jesus did was he declared to the woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. Then he laid his hands on her. Well, that's right in keeping with what Jesus said he came to do in Luke chapter 4. As he began his ministry, after he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness 40 days. He came back into Nazareth, went into the synagogue, and here's what he read. The Bible says he opened up the scroll from the prophet Isaiah, and he read these words in Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And notice this phrase, to do what? To proclaim liberty to the captives. To proclaim liberty to the captives. That's exactly what he did for this woman. He said, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. You're free. You don't have to be bound anymore. You don't have to suffer this pain and this condition anymore. You're loosed. He said, that's what he came to do, to proclaim liberty to the captives. You know, that's our assignment as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What Jesus' ministry was, that's our ministry today as the church. We're to proclaim liberty to the captives. Amen. And recovery of sight to the blind, and then to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And that's exactly what he did. He proclaimed liberty to her, and then he laid hands on her, and he set her at liberty. Why? Because she was oppressed. Who was she oppressed by? She was oppressed by the devil. Acts 10:38 says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Amen. For God was with him. And so that he's fulfilling that assignment. He's fulfilling that commission. And the woman is healed and is set free. And again, when he did that, the ruler of the synagogue, you'd think he'd be happy. Here's one of his church members. For 18 years, she suffered. And now she's free. Now she's made whole. Now she's not bound anymore. You'd think he'd be happy about that, but he wasn't. You know, basically got showed up, didn't he? Well, she's been here 18 years and you haven't helped her. And Jesus comes in and helps her. And he says, well, you know, this is the Sabbath. We're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. There's 6 days. Come and be healed. Well, you had 18 years to work with this lady. In other words, this man, this ruler of the synagogue, is echoing a statement that we sometimes hear today. Healing is not for today. Come on those other days, but not today. Do you ever hear people say, well, healing is not for today? Yeah, we know God healed in the past. We know that's in the Bible, but healing's not for today. Well, that's not biblical. That's a religious spirit. Amen. 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 We want to prove to you and through this message that healing is for today. Yes. And it's for you today. Amen. Jesus responded to this statement that the ruler of the synagogue made, and he gives us the primary reason why she was healed. Let's put verse 16 up there again, Mike. Verse 16 says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, in other words, Jesus is saying this woman has a right to be healed because she's a daughter of Abraham. In other words, this woman has a right to be healed. She ought to be healed. She has a right to be healed because she has a covenant with God. She's in covenant with God. That covenant includes healing, and she's got a right to be healed. That's why she was healed. That was the foundation. That's why Jesus had the right to proclaim, you're loose from your infirmity. That's why when he laid his hands on her, she was healed. Why? He's operating within the covenant of God. She had a right to be healed. Praise God. And we see this covenant of healing. We see it was established. We're going to go back in the Old Testament and trace it from its onset and through into our time today. So go with me. We're going to cover all this in a little more detail than we did on Wednesday night. So go with me to Genesis 17. Genesis 17 and verse number 1. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make, what did God say he will make? My covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, what's the next two words? My covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. And kings shall come from you. And I will establish, what? My covenant. Third time that God mentions in this passage, in this verse, or passage here, my covenant to Abraham. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and it's not just between God and Abraham, and your descendants after you and their generations, all the way down to this woman in the synagogue in that day in Jesus' time. Amen. Hallelujah. Between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Hallelujah. And so as we read through the account of Scripture, as we read through God's dealing with Abraham, well, we know that God brought healing to Abraham and Sarah because they were what? They were unable to have a child, right? And then God worked supernaturally, miraculously, and they were able to have a child, and that was Isaac. And so we know that God started with them there. And as we read through and as we trace God's dealing with Abraham and his seed, the nation of Israel, then we see that a part of this covenant was divine healing. Praise God. Exodus chapter 15, we see that the covenant people of God had been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. God brought them out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. And one of the first things that God tells them after they come across the Red Sea and into their freedom, he tells them this in Exodus 15, verse 26. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God to do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. So God reveals to the Israelites here that he's their healer. And he said, it's because of the covenant that I've made with you. He said, you walk in my covenant. You keep my covenant. You walk in my covenant and I'll do my part. I'll keep my covenant to you. I'm the Lord who heals you. Hallelujah. You won't have any sickness. You won't have any of the diseases that you knew in Egypt, because I'm the Lord who heals you. Praise God. In Exodus 23, 25, he says this, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. One translation says, I'll give you a full lifespan. Praise God. Amen. He says, so he tells him, he says, I'm the Lord, your healer. I thought about that this morning as before service, as I was thinking about the message here. And I thought, I had this question, when did he stop being the Lord, our healer? He hasn't. Amen. He said in Exodus 15, 26, for I am the Lord your healer. When did he stop being that? When did he stop doing that? He hasn't stopped being the Lord our healer. He hasn't stopped being the healer of his covenant people. Amen. He says in verse 23-25 here, he says, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. When did he stop doing that? He hasn't. The only time and place that he ever stops doing what he said he would do is when his people stop believing him. When they get convinced through false teaching that he's not doing that anymore. But he's never stopped. Amen. 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 Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 7, verse 12. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep it. Now Deuteronomy, Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy. It's actually his farewell address to the children of Israel. It's right before they were getting ready to go into the promised land. And of course, Moses wouldn't be the one to lead them in. So he's given them his final instructions. And here's one part of what he said. It shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your... What is this? This is God saying, this is Moses reminding them of what God is going to do for them and his part of keeping the covenant with them. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to love you. He's going to bless you. He's going to multiply you. He's going to bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land, your grain, your new wine, and your oil, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock, and the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. Verse 15, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness. The Lord will take away from you all sickness. So divine healing was in this covenant that he made with Abraham and with the seed of Abraham, with the descendants of Abraham. Amen. Praise God. He says, I'll take away from you all sickness. Now, let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. Benefits of what? Benefits of the covenant. Benefits of being in covenant with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't forget his benefits. Well, if we forget the benefits, then we won't be in a position to claim the benefits, and therefore we won't partake of the benefits. He said, don't forget the benefits. Amen? Too much of the time, the people of God have forgotten the benefits of the covenant. You ask the average Christian, and they don't even realize they're in covenant with God. Well, I just believe in Jesus, and I'm going to go to heaven one day. I may take a few punches here along the way and just kind of make it through the best I can. No. We're in covenant with God. We're in covenant with God here and now. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. What are those benefits? He tells us the next verse, who forgives all your iniquities. Thank God. Well, we believe that one, don't we? We believe that, don't we? Don't we tell a person, you can repent of your sin, God will forgive you, God will wash away your sin, God won't hold it against you, you can be made new. And even the Christian, the believer, when you've fallen, when you've sinned, if you repent, you can come back, the blood of Jesus cleanses you. Amen? Amen. And that's truth. Amen. That's a benefit. He forgives all of our iniquities. But this other benefit is just as true and just as sure and just as real. And he heals all your diseases. Not half of them. Not some of them. Not the ones that are like, oh, well, yeah, but it's not, we didn't know it was that bad. He heals all our diseases. Oh, we didn't know it had gotten to stage 4. He heals all your diseases except stage 4. All your diseases. All your diseases. Hallelujah. Let's go back and look at the woman in Luke 13 again. In verse 16, Jesus, now you can understand with a little more revelation and with a little more meaning when Jesus says, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham?" Hallelujah. Jesus was thinking about all these passages we just read. Jesus was standing on the foundation of all those passages we just read when he makes this statement to her about her and says, "This woman ought to be healed. She ought to be set free today, right now." Why? Because she is a daughter of Abraham. Because she's in covenant with God, and because the covenant that God made with Abraham and with the descendants of Abraham included divine healing, she has a right to be healed. Amen? Hallelujah. She had a right to be healed. Now, let's look at another woman for a minute. This is a woman who was outside the covenant of God. Kind of an interesting contrast, but let's look at this lady. And it's Matthew chapter 15. We find her story, the Syrophoenician woman. Matthew 15 and 21. "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan," not an Israelite, not a Jew, a woman of Canaan, a Canaanite. All right. That's one of those ites that God told the children of Israel they were supposed to drive out. But they didn't drive out all the ites, did they? But you know, God still loved the ites. Amen. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" He said, "I was sent to the Jewish people. I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was his assignment when he was walking the earth. Now, is he the Savior of the whole world? Yes. But at that time, in fulfilling his ministry, he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Either Jesus lied or that's who he was sent to. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's who he was sent to. And so he said, in essence, he's saying, you know, you're outside my realm of assignment. All right. Okay. And then she came and so she didn't walk away when he said that. Okay, well, at least I tried. No. She didn't stop there. She came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Do you know that saying, "Lord, help me," is an act of worship? Well, yeah. You know, you've been worshiping God a lot more than you thought you were. You just thought you were. Amen. "Lord, help me." Praise God. "But he answered and said," he doubled down, "'It's not good to take the," what? "The children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.'" Well, 99% of us would have gotten greatly offended at that, walked away, immediately went on Facebook and wrote up this horrible negative post about this charlatan Jesus. "I just want you to know, I went down there and asked Jesus to heal my daughter, and here's what he said to me." But I want to point something out before we get back to her story. Look at what he said. It's not good to take what? What is the woman asking him for? She's asking for healing and deliverance for her daughter. Right? And Jesus calls that healing and that deliverance, he calls it the children's bread. That's the children's bread. In other words, and I used this illustration Wednesday night because most of the people that were here had come here because of the food pantry. Yeah. They'd come to get food. Yeah. And I said, the first thing that your responsibility as a parent is to make sure your children are fed, right? Your children shouldn't have to beg you for food. Your children shouldn't have to say, oh, dear Father, may I eat today? It's a right. Children have a right to be fed and provided for with food by their parents, by their mother and their father. They've got a right to that. Jesus said healing, deliverance is the children's bread. It belongs to the children. The children have a right to partake of it. All right. And yet the woman still was not deterred when Jesus said it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. I love her response, and evidently Jesus did too. And she said, yes, Lord, you may be right, yet even the little dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. All I need is a crumb of your healing power, and that'll be enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even the dogs get the little crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Hallelujah. Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Hallelujah. So look at this. This woman didn't have a covenant with God, but Jesus still honored her faith and her persistence and her perseverance. She reached, we see people doing this from time to time in the scripture. She reached ahead into the dispensation that was coming. And she got healing for her daughter right there. Amen. That's amazing, isn't it? Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't trying to be mean to the woman. I think Jesus was really trying to position her to where she could receive on the level where she was at. She says, I know I'm outside the covenant, but even the little dogs get the crumbs. I just need a crumb. And she received. Jesus said, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And the daughter was healed. Praise God. Praise God. Even though she didn't have a covenant, she reached in and got healing. Well, what's our excuse? What's our excuse? We have a covenant. Say, no, Pastor, that's the Jews. They had a covenant. And that this is the new covenant. Yes, it is the new covenant. Amen. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it's a better covenant. Amen. Established on better promises. Amen. You know, if you buy a car and you enjoy that car and you drive that car for a few years and then, you know, you wear it out or you're getting on up in miles and you think, you know, I think I'm going to get another one. And maybe you've had it for 10 years. And so you go to buy, you say, I want the same kind, but I want the new one. And you go into the dealership and they say, well, yeah, we know what you had 10 years ago. That was a good car. And we've got to tell you about this one now. Now, yours had air conditioning. This doesn't have that anymore. Yours had power seats as well as heated seats. We don't do that anymore. The new models don't have power seats and heated seats. You had an automatic transmission. This just has a manual. Would you think the new one was better? No. But we have a better covenant established on better promises. It's got all the options and the bells and whistles of the old plus more. Amen. Galatians 3. Besides that, we're included in the covenant that had healing. Amen. Galatians 3:29. It says, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. Boom! There we are. That gets us in right there. Now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. God said, I'm going to make a covenant, Abraham, with you and with your descendants after you. And in this covenant is divine healing. I'll be the Lord, your healer. I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. The benefits of this covenant is I'll forgive all your iniquities and heal all your diseases. And we get in that covenant. If we belong to Christ, now that we do belong to Christ, then you're the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Amen. Galatians 3:13. And Reed, are you around? Is Reed around? Somebody go grab Reed. I'll need Reed to come back up. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. What's the significance of that? Well, read Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it talks about all the sicknesses and diseases and bad things that would happen to the children of Israel if they chose to live outside the covenant with God. And God says, if you live inside this covenant, I'm going to be your healer. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to bless you. Living inside that covenant means you have all those things. But if you choose to live outside the covenant, then there's a curse out there. There's bad stuff. There's poverty. There's lack. There's sickness. There's disease. There's all kinds of bad things out there. And he mentions in Deuteronomy 28, he mentions a bunch of sickness. And then he says also every sickness and every disease that's not mentioned, that's not listed in this curse or in this book, will come upon you. So it includes every sickness and every disease. Now here's the good news. Christ has what? Yeah. Has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. We can read that this way. Christ has redeemed us from every sickness and every disease. Amen. Having become a curse for us. When did he do that? It's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. When he hung on a tree, when he died on the cross, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. They were incapable. In all reality, the children of Israel were incapable of fully keeping the law. They couldn't do it. God said, the reason I gave you the law is not so you could keep it, but so I could show you and reveal to you that you need a Savior. That's why he gave the law. By the law is the knowledge of sin. It reveals to us that we're sinful and that we need a Savior. And Jesus came and redeemed us from the curse of the law. And the next part of that, in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That's us. We are the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Through faith. It's through faith. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here's how we're going to appropriate this blessing today. And we did this Wednesday night. We're going to appropriate this covenant right of divine healing in our act of receiving communion today. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. This is our covenant meal. I'm going to go grab my elements here. And we're going to partake in just a moment. You can get yours ready. This is our covenant meal. Communion is our act of proclaiming that we are in covenant. When a covenant was made, we don't know in our modern culture, we know very little about covenant, and we should know more. But when a covenant was made between two parties, one of the things that they did to seal that covenant was that they shared a meal. This is our covenant meal. And Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This cup is my blood, which is shed for you. Now, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Let me stop right there. He says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now, he's talking about examining ourselves spiritually, certainly. He's talking about examining ourselves. Do I have unconfessed sin in my heart? Am I living a lifestyle? Am I living in a way that I know is in violation of the Word of God? Then am I harboring unforgiveness and bitterness toward another person in my heart? See, the commandment for the church in the new covenant is love. All the commandments, Jesus said, I'm giving you a new commandment. When he instituted this meal, this covenant, he said, I'm giving you a new covenant and I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another as I've loved you. Paul said in Romans, love is the fulfillment of the law. So that's our law to follow in the new covenant is the law of love. Am I walking outside of love? If I am, I need to examine myself. I need to repent. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Am I working ill to my neighbor? Am I harboring unforgiveness or bitterness? Then I examine myself and I repent of that. Amen, which is what we should be doing right now. But then this, it says, let a man examine himself. That woman in the synagogue that day that Jesus ministered to, she had a right to be healed. It was right that we read. We read all the promises. But she wasn't receiving her healing. She didn't know about that. But that day, she realized and recognized, hey, I can be healed. Let a man examine himself. Is there sickness in your body? Is there disease in your body? Is there pain in your body? You ought, because you're a child of Abraham through Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. Then you ought to be healed. Ought not this man? Ought not this woman? Ought not this person today, being a daughter, being a son of Abraham, ought they not to be healed today? Shouldn't they be healed? Don't they have a right to be healed? Absolutely. Yes. Examine yourself. If there's sickness, if there's disease, then say, you know what? This can't stay in my body. This infirmity can't stay in my body. I'm in covenant with God, and I'm about to partake of this covenant meal. I'm about to partake of this bread and partake of this cup. And as I do so, I'm partaking of my healing. I'm partaking of my freedom. I'm partaking of my deliverance. Hallelujah. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And then he says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, when he says an unworthy, he says an unworthy manner. It doesn't mean, oh, well, I've messed up now. I sinned last week. I lost my temper and I said something that I shouldn't say last week. And so I'm unworthy now. So here, take this back. I can't partake of. No, you're the very one that that needs to partake. Amen. The unworthy manner would say, oh, well, it's just communion. You know, big deal, no big deal. That's an unworthy manner. Not recognizing the power and the life and the benefit that's available in this. Hallelujah. not discerning the Lord's body, not understanding, not recognizing that His body was broken for me. In fact, let's look at what 1 Peter 2:24 says, and then we'll come back to there to 1 Corinthians. 1 Peter 2:24, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. Jesus paid for our healing. When we don't discern that, when we don't discern the Lord's body took stripes so we could be healed, then we miss out on the benefit. Back to 1 Corinthians, said if we don't discern the Lord's body in verse 29, go back to 29 for a moment, not discerning the Lord's body, then verse 30 says, for this reason, not discerning the Lord's body, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. He's not talking about they're taking a nap. He's talking about they've died prematurely. Many are weak and sick. For what reason? Because they didn't discern the Lord's body. That woman was bound that day in the synagogue. She'd been that way for 18 years, and it was not necessary. She had a covenant of healing. She just didn't know about it. She hadn't claimed it. And for this reason, not knowing what belongs to us and not claiming it, not appropriating it, many are weak and sick among us, and many sleep, but we don't have to be. We can receive our healing. We can receive our healing right now. Thank you, Lord. Let's do that. Let's partake of our covenant of healing today. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this bread that is the body, represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we discern today that His body was broken for us. We discern today that He took the stripes on His back. And with those stripes, we were healed. I don't know physically how that can happen, but Lord, you said it happened. You said the act of Him taking those stripes on His back paid for me to be free from sickness and disease. So I believe that today. I believe that. I accept that. And it's my covenant right. In fact, make this declaration after me. Say this. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great plan. You are the healer. And you've never stopped being the healer. You are the healer of your covenant people. And I understand today that I am one of your covenant people. I understand today that healing belongs to me. It's my covenant right. I ought to be healed. So as I eat this bread and drink this cup, I release my faith and I receive my healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Sickness, disease, infirmity, you cannot stay in my body. I know what belongs to me. I claim my benefits. He heals all my diseases. And I receive that healing right now in the name of Jesus. Let's partake of the bread.